We shall resume our story in just a few moments. In order to prevent you from becoming bored, even for so short a time, we have asked your local announcer to entertain you.
Yes, it's time once again for Radio Free X-Man.
What's Radio Free X-Man?
We've got 11,000 people at NASA trying to figure that out right now.
Radio Free X-Man's beloved cast of broadcast entertainers are back.
You all know people like this. You may be people like this.
Now, the charming and delightful president of X-Man Mortgage and host of Radio Free X-Man, Bob.
Your head is freakishly large.
Brooks.
Thank you. Thank you. Coming at you from high atop, well, okay, maybe not that high, but medium atop in the Houston skyline. Well, maybe not in the Houston skyline, but kind of far removed from
an almost fatal drop.
Yeah. Surely, if I fell the wrong way from this office, it would be a fatal drop.
And if you don't handle today's program properly, that's always a possibility. These windows don't open, but we can get up on the roof.
What a glorious exit
that would be. Oh, all windows open if you want them to badly enough.
Well, that's true. Just how heavy is that chair?
I was thinking the freakishly large head. I can't talk now. But.
Your head is freakishly large.
It's not a head, it's a battering ram. Hey, let's find out.
Yeah, that was like my grandfather. He died. You know, he died by drinking furniture polish. Doctors said it was a terrible death, but a great finish.
Thank you very much.
Uh-oh. Yeah, and on the subject of mortgage, we are coming at you across Houston to discuss mortgage and finance and mortgage-related things and finance-related things, but we also discuss other things.
Absolutely.
And
seeing as it's been
things.
Several programs since you've made the rounds of proper formal introductions, I think you should restart that glorious Radio Free X-Man tradition.
To my left, I got two of the glorious entertainers that we have here. One is Brewing Frog.
Believe me.
I hate the burp.
Aww.
The ribbit, but not the burp.
It's distinctive, though, isn't it?
It's disgusting. There's a difference.
It's a little frog meeting call. Yeah.
It's what happens whenever you bring a girl on the show.
Oh, boy.
I got hey, the guys, glare. Let's put on a show. No girls.
Yeah.
Is that what that sign outside the treehouse was?
Clubhouse, yeah. No
from girls. Now on, Radio Free X-Man will be in black and white.
And to the right of Brewing Frog, you have the tax goddess. Go to RadioFreeXman.com and you can see a picture of the glorious tax goddess.
I vote you put a bigger picture of her on there.
Okay, I'll get to work on
and
that. I'll have the
see
one...
enough detail.
Right, I'll have the ones with the bear skins removed.
And if you need a photographer, I'm available.
Bear skins.
I like your picture on the website personally, Dave. It's a striking resemblance.
It is amazing, isn't it?
And the golden and dulcet and indeed well-practiced tones coming over the producer's mic would in fact be Big Dave, Big Dog Dave. Dog Dave Perkins.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm 6 feet four and I produce radio shows like this for breakfast. Yada, yada, yada.
And believe me, that's not all he has for breakfast.
I'm so right tonight, I almost can't handle myself. Yeah.
Bob got a letter in the mail all the way from Australia.
You wouldn't believe this. That's right. I'm an international offender.
It was an email, not a letter, but it's still cool. It came from none other than the Australian Broadcasting Company, which is a sort of a one-off arm of the BBC. It's the National Taxpayer Finance Broadcasting Company of Australia. And it was in response to a criticism Bob made last week, I guess about 10 days ago. So you want to tell people what it was you criticized, and then we'll get to how they responded down at the ABC.
Full disclosure here, I am not Jewish, nor am I Arab or Muslim. Or
anything. I had you pegged as a Zoroastrian myself. But.
I thought I was Zoroastrian. No, I'm a capitalist. but the story went on and on.
Background, it was an ABC Australian Broadcasting story on a children's news service, and it was a brief one-paragraph attempt to represent the Arab-Israeli conflict of the past 50 years so that children could understand it.
Yeah, right. Using simple words, even.
Yeah, and they did use simple words, and they used moral equivalency from the get-go. They represented the Palestinians as a diaspora, basically, who simply want to return to their homeland. And indeed, Hezbollah and Al-Aqsa's Brigade, Martyrs Brigade, and all of those folks, they're really just offshoots of this diaspora. And what they want to try and do is get back. And they're just fighting for their homeland again. And I think that struck me as a little bit of a bizarre spin on this. I don't think that's what they're after. I don't think they're just trying to get their homeland back. I think that they want to curb stomp any Jew that they meet.
Like Yasser Arafat said so many times in his radio broadcast speeches to the Palestinians, from from the river to the sea. All the way to the sea, we shall see the Israelis march into the sea. Yeah, I don't think it was anything to do with land either.
Couldn't carry a tune in a bucket either.
But weren't they also saying on that website that the Lebanese were also fighting because the Israelis had taken their land and they were fighting to get it back? I'm sorry, who crossed whose border, kidnapped people?
This all according to the Australian Broadcasting Company's News Service for Children, which conveniently left out all of the Arab wars started against Israel.
They left out the Arab wars. And, you know, don't get me started on this moral equivalency kick, because really I do try and be on the outside looking in. And so I just ask very basic questions that even that most talking heads or anybody I hear doesn't ask. Okay, let's say I got nothing against gays. I'm not openly gay, and I'm not.
Are you closeted?
I'm not closedly gay.
Oh, it's a confession time like here.
Because we really need to talk.
Listen. This is an extreme example, but it works very well. If you're an openly gay couple, where can you live? Can you live in Israel? Can you have a life? Can you tell everyone else that you're openly gay? Yes.
That's the definition of openly.
That's right. Can you be openly gay and still be above room temperature? Yes. Okay. If you're in one of the surrounding countries, Saudi Arabia, and you say, well, we're openly gay, that's the last thing you say. They push a fence over on you. That's the point I'm trying to bring up.
The Saudis are a little backwards on this, because room temperature in Saudi Arabia is about 30 degrees higher than human body temperature. But still, you get the general picture. You get the picture. The moral equivalence that all the media tries to present, the Palestinian and the Arab causes versus the Israel cause, is just incredibly simply misstated in this ABC news story for children. And Bob got upset about it and wrote him a note detailing all of the complaints and problems he had with their story. And now the Australian Broadcasting Company has written back to Bob, not just to say, thanks for letting us know your views, but actually in some weird way to apologize. I think it's because they're a little less sophisticated than the BBC or CNN or any of the American media.
Not to be confused with the actual ABC.
Our ABC, yeah. But I don't think any of those places would be caught dead apologizing to anyone about misrepresenting the Middle East.
But that tells me that they're still very new at this.
Certainly not even acting penitent.
They'll get it right down the line. But here's what the ABC had to say to Bob. While the intention of this story was to communicate a most complex situation to a young audience, the ABC acknowledges that the content failed to meet the requirements of balance and impartiality. The story has been removed from the ABC website. Good on you, Bob. You got them to take the bloody story off the website. Now, that's remarkable. The content is currently being reviewed, and revised material will be posted in due course. So we have yet for the revised story to appear on the website. We'll see whether they got it right the second time. Regretfully, in its attempt to be simple and concise, this story did not represent key relevant viewpoints effectively.
Nor relevant facts, might I add.
They bring up viewpoints and perspectives, really, to ask the questions that I was asking on my email to them. You don't even need to have a viewpoint. Just use anything that would be heretical to Islam. And can you practice it openly in Israel? And can you practice it openly in the other countries? And the answer is no. You will get killed in one of those countries for it, and you won't get killed in Israel for it. Also, what religions can you practice in Israel? Well, any religion you want. Any religion you want, including right up to and including saying there is no God. You cannot do that in any of those other countries. And I'm saying this is a big deal, and it's very indicative of something very basic.
Well, you get freedom of religion in Saudi Arabia for about the first 10 seconds of the customs guy rifling through your luggage, and then when he finds the Bible in there, whoop, you're off to jail.
Right. And I'm complaining about that difference. I, as an outsider, as a dumb hick Texan living here, not knowing a thing, am just asking very basic questions like that, and I'd like some answers to that. And if you're going to say, well, it's just their culture, well, then okay, that to me puts to lie multiculturalism, because multiculturalism holds that all cultures are equally valid, and I don't buy that. If you go someplace where you say, yeah, I'm a Christian, okay, up on the firing squad, man, that ain't a good culture to be a part of, okay?
And the worst thing about this whole Australian Broadcasting Company thing is it was a news story targeted at children.
Oh, absolutely.
It was written for kids.
They're trying to get them young. Before they start reading the blogosphere.
It's how kids, well, they're already doing that on their Blackberries at like age 3 now.
Yeah,
really.
You can't stop technology.
Kids, I need you to break into this bank website for me.
Okay, Daddy.
It's 256-bit encryption.
No problem, Daddy-o.
Thanks for the raise, son.
Can I have a Rice Krispie treat?
Yeah, here I have two.
You guys doubtless have noticed, because of all the annoying emails that show up at your place, place that I've been kind of active and busy blogging lately.
Yes.
And I think it's a great time to talk about blogs on this program because we haven't gone into it a lot lately. But all of us, on one level or another, are kind of deeply involved in
exactly.
the blogosphere. Most of us as readers, but some of us just sit and write till our fingers turn purple and our relatives get annoyed.
Yeah, you can of course find our blog here at Ixman. You can go to radiofreeixman.com or Ixman Inc. That's IXMANINC.com. And you can see the link to our blog there and come on board and comment copiously.
Yes,
and
tell
angrily.
Us all about it.
Please.
Ixman Inc. is what comes out of Bob when he gets upset and tries to run away.
This little cloud thing.
I'm sorry.
It's the flight mechanism. Boy, this tax goddess is a pushover today. Wheel out all the bad jokes, boys.
Yeah, really. Ooh, I think there may be a kernel of truth in that, for goodness sakes.
No, here on KNTH, I've joined in the Salem crowd over at townhall.com, which is a creation of executive editor Hugh Hewitt, where most of the Salem talk shows, and I proudly count us among the Salem talk shows, much as the rest of them might want to pretend they've never heard of us.
Yeah. What?
And my blog is called As I Was Saying, and it's easy to find. Just skip the www and just type in asiwassaying.townhall.com. And I owe you a few links on there, don't I, Bob? Because I think it's pretty much flying solo these days.
You betcha. I await linkage.
Now, what is Blogging Heads?
Blogging Heads, I think it was Mark Klein. No, Kouse. Mickey Kouse. That's it. Mickey Kouse.
The Kouse Files.
And some other blogger. And I've only seen them for the first time about 30 minutes ago. Actually, 30 minutes before I came here. And it took me 4.5 hours.
I was
hours.
Wondering how you did that in the car, actually.
Yeah, it was Houston traffic, so it took me 5 hours to get across downtown Houston to get here. And they just go back and forth in the debate, and it's a pretty spirited debate, and they're pretty intelligent, they're pretty smart. They're going back and forth about Ann Coulter. Ann Coulter.
The one woman he would leave the tax goddess for. Fortunately, she would never have him, so it's not really an issue.
Well, he'd also be in line behind me, so that's not really matter.
Lady Hotness
and
herself.
And he can block really well.
Yeah, my motives are so pure, I just want to feed her.
I want to brush your hair.
Yeah, really. A little bolognese sauce and pasta. My God, a girl, you got a thin.
But they were going on about it, and they had some. Of course, you got to do the pay in to multiculturalism and PC, and you got to say, well, of course she's a bigot.
Well, you heard what happened when she went on with Chris Matthews last week.
No, what happened?
He welcomed her in and said thanks for coming, and then said as his first question, "Tell me, do you have a soul?"
Did she at least laugh in
his
fat
sure.
face?
No, at which point she rose up out of her chair, turned red, spun around, sparks flying out of her eyeballs, and Chris Matthew is dead now.
Yeah, really?
Oh, that's a wonderful story,
Chris, I want
Bob.
You to look at this thing in my right hand. It's your still beating heart.
Oh, and by the way, no, I don't have a soul.
Yeah, really. Chris then said,
No, you can keep up with all the pundits, all the Salem talk show hosts, and including Dennis Prager, who is a midday guy that a lot of people don't get to hear on 1070 because he's talking while you're working. But this guy is a tremendous student of other cultures, including the Russian culture. He was an expert on the Soviet Union. He's a Russian speaker. He's also very well versed on all the different versions of Islam. And he is, in fact, a Jew, and he's been to seminary, rabbinical college, and knows the Hebrew people. He's unbelievably clear. He speaks simply and clearly and goes straight to the facts. And I wish I could remember the hours he was on during the day so I could brag on him a little bit more.
Yeah.
Penn and Teller have a show on that's called, and I'll shorten it, BS.
Brussels
and they had Dennis Prager on, and they were talking about college education and how worthlessly hosed it is in many cases because it's skewed so far left. And Dennis Prager did make a comment, and it was a brilliant comment. I'm going to remember this for forever. A statement like that is so stupid, it can only have come from higher education.
Well, come on. What did P.G. O'Rourke say all these many years ago?
He said my favorite thing, which is giving money and power to Congress is like giving car keys and whiskey to teenage boys.
Yeah, no, he said sensitivity is just stupidity sent to college.
Oh, man, I'm starting to feel better that I never went.
Yes, but if you've taken a class with the tax goddess, you
Well, you know,
you actually took like classes, you know, that you had to attend.
I taught classes too, dear. Remember?
Oh, my gosh.
But how can you teach leftist accounting?
The debits are on the left. The credits are on the right. Ah. Very important to remember.
That explains why leftists always spend more money than they take in, because the debits are on the left. I'm getting it.
It's right there.
Holy cow, I'm getting an education, and I didn't even go to college.
And then there's Brewing Frogs College. That's a
five-year
party with a $50,000 cover charge.
Actually, I got a very nice degree from them, and I will not mention the name, as it would probably be, you know, devastating to them. Anyway, and the bill was a lot higher than 50 grand. Trust me on that.
All that PR undone in one radio show. Radio Free X-Man is brought to you by, sponsored by, paid for, and catered. Oh, no food this week. By X-Man Mortgage.
We do have catering, and it's brought to you by my leftover diet Snapple. Here.
Brought to you by.
Of which there's not enough for everybody, might I add.
Look, folks, swill.
And so we have our obligatory mortgage minute, if you will, not to be confused with some guy who refers to himself as Mortgage Minute.
Oh, God, the hives are rising on my arms even now.
Hey, he's a good guy. He's not as fun as we are, but he's a good guy.
And he knows a lot about mortgage.
He does. Sure, he's really smart. Where do you think I get these topics?
Oh, I thought it was because we were sitting around beforehand. What are we going to talk about today? And I scratched my head, and everybody looked blank. And
it was
like,
you know, it wasn't your head that you scratched.
Teach us, O master of mortgage, about the difference between an ARM and a fixed.
ARM stands for adjustable rate mortgage, and they are just that. Each and every year, in most cases, they will adjust. And in a rising interest rate environment, they will adjust upward.
Because we are at rock bottom right about now.
Important to note that when they are adjustable, it doesn't mean you get to adjust them. It means somebody else adjusts them and you get to pay.
No, it seems market forces. I mean, we can go into much more detail than that, but we would lose all three of our audience members, and I don't want to take that risk.
Nah, they're handcuffed. Nothing to worry about.
Yeah, really. Hence the shrieking you hear
down
the hall.
Because that is in stark contrast to a fixed mortgage, which, as its name implies, it is fixed for the whole life of the loan. They start out, generally speaking, always with a higher interest rate than an adjustable rate mortgage, but they stay that way. So you're sort of betting on the come.
What you have to remember when you're thinking about an ARM, and it's easy to get talked into because, you know, it's like, hey, I got a couple of years to pay on it. I'll be saving some money and I'll get a raise and I'll be able to afford that. And well, guess what? If we're at near rock bottom, which we are, I mean, they've come up a little bit from pretty much
We're still pretty low in the general scheme of things, yeah.
But if you're looking at getting 2 points over prime, then 3 points over prime the next year, and then 4 points over prime the year after
No. Careful. You can tell this guy brews beer for a living. No. Prime goes up.
Indeed.
You stay 2 points above it. Yeah.
But the benchmark itself is what changes.
That's called the banker's spread, is that 2 points above prime.
That's right. And so as prime goes up, the spread will stay the same.
My wife and I love to do things like go and look in other people's houses when they're not there on a Sunday afternoon, otherwise known as going to realtors' open houses.
Good, because we were wondering a little bit.
Yeah, I do the same thing, only it's at night. And
without the realtor.
And through somebody's drapes.
Yeah, really.
No, but here's the thing.
So good at those alarm systems.
The last couple of years, we do this every now and then for fun. In the last couple of years, we've noticed more than one property in fairly decent neighborhoods where clearly the owner has vacated without doing anything important over the last, you know, many months. And just as clearly, the price of the house has got to be less than what he took out for a loan originally several years ago. And so I'm thinking these people took out ARMs. They made very low payments in the first few years. And then the first big rate spikes came and they found themselves upside down. And
right.
they had to pretty much...
They are in the bucket. However, you need to understand that that is the exception and not the rule. And an ARM can make sense for someone who, if I know, for example, I'm going to be selling this house in a year and a half, then an ARM makes complete sense.
Because it just makes your payments as low as they possibly can be.
It makes your payments low. Well, more importantly, it gives you choice, freedom of choice. You can pay additional. You can pay the 30-year fixed rate, or you can pay additional principal on your mortgage, or you can pay the ultra-low rate.
Or you can tailor it for the payments to increase when you are quite certain your income will be increasing also.
That's right.
I wish I could say that about myself.
That's right. There are all kinds of strategies one can do. And so all you got to do is just give me a call at 281-813-0509 And I'll be able to, I'll be happy to discuss this strategy as well as more in-depth strategies.
281-813-0509, Bob's personal cell phone. Called him at 2 a.m. and asked him what he was doing when the phone rang. Always an entertaining thing to do if you're suffering from insomnia. And he says he answers his darn phone, so.
I know. I'll just hand the phone to the sheriff who's driving in front of the car at that point.
If you can fit it through that metal grate.
But I kid Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson makes me so sad. Because I think it's his father speaking through him.
That's his father.
When you grow up stressed out by a father who lives with a lot of anger and occasionally takes it out on you when you're a little kid, you cannot help but absorb some of his behavior and repeat it under stress. And
stress when all of your inhibitions are lifted, as in like when you're drunk.
I don't doubt that he means what he says, but I'm not sure he is a completely consciously committed anti-Semite. I think what you saw come out of him during this arrest scene is something that went into him for years and years when he was a little kid and came out under stress. His level of certainty of the truth of it, I think, is questionable. Just the fact that his father told it to him under stress for so many years, that's what's clear to me. And the fact that he had an open bottle of tequila half empty in his car at 10 o'clock in the morning driving 90 miles an hour, and this man has a problem.
I think they call that a clue, Watson.
What's that country song? Tequila makes her clothes fall off?
Tequila makes her clothes fall off.
You know, but on that subject, Big Dave, I think that everybody on this planet has bigoted thoughts and bigoted impulses. And I don't know. I get a feeling that's a straw dog sometimes.
But I like tequila.
And I know he probably had a lot of the same impulses that a lot of people do, from Jews, black folks, folks like me. Everybody has these impulses. It's a matter of how much power you have, and then what happens when you're under stress and your inhibitions are released.
Yeah. The arguments against him were timed to coincide with the release of The Passion of the Christ a couple of years ago, because there were some Orthodox Jews who had it in mind after seeing the movie that it unfairly painted the Jews as deserving all the blame for the death of Christ. And, you know, I'm
this
a Christian
This gives a little
guy,
bit of weight to that argument,
well,
though, doesn't it?
Which
it
does. Is ironic, given the whole point of Christ dying for all our sins of all of mankind. That means it's everyone's fault.
Look,
equally.
I'm a Christian guy, and I don't care how any story represents the level of blame to be divided up between the institutional Jews and the occupying Romans at the time. It's not relevant to me. It doesn't play to any aspect of the story from that point on and the meaning of it all to the human race. It just doesn't matter. And for people to be so focused on whether it was the Jews or the Romans who deserved the blame for Christ's death is, to me, the ultimate straw man. It's a total waste of time.
You're absolutely right. But is this a recent train of thought in Christianity? In other words, about 100 years ago, I think, didn't a lot of Christians have real problems with the Jews?
Oh, look, it's been going on since the beginning of Christianity. That's part of anti-Semitism in the Western world.
Yeah, and it's very interesting that the most vociferous proponents of the Jews now, I think, are the evangelical Christians. Yeah, I would say the evangelical Christians are number one on that list. In other words, they're cheerleaders. And I am a Christian with moderately evangelical beliefs, so I'd put myself in that camp, too. Dax Goddess grew up in a predominantly Jewish neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. About 70%.
Yeah, predominantly Jewish neighborhood up in New Jersey.
Yep.
And if you weren't Jewish, you were almost, by definition, Catholic. There were a few people thrown in for affirmative action, but that was pretty much the breakdown.
And the interesting thing is how well those two communities got along. Where she grew up. They had a very strong alliance.
Well, there was a letter written by one of the Jewish leaders of the 18th century American colonies to George Washington, thanking him for being serious when he talked about religious freedom, because the Jews, I recall, were waiting anxiously to see if it included them when the American colonies were first talking about freedom to worship as you choose, and they were relieved and grateful to find out that it was actually true. And so they wrote George Washington a letter that's still extant today. I wish I could find it. Give me a minute on Google, okay? You guys sit and be quiet. No, just kidding.
I don't know. The lesson I took from this thing is once you're, like, rich, powerful, you know, making movies, making tons of cash,
mm-hmm.
Hire a car and a driver.
No, and yeah. That's the first thing that came to my mind. You know, it's
yeah,
called...
Yeah, we know we had cab fare. I mean, come on.
My back, 6.2. Okay? Drink all you want.
Yeah, there's a driver named Eddie, and there's a bar in the back of the driver's seat. Thank you very much.
Some really vile stuff came out of his mouth, like, look you, I own Malibu. I'll spend all my money for the rest of my life to get even with you for arresting me. He's telling all this stuff to the cop who's writing him up.
And the heck of it is scaring the cop. It would scare me. Too. You got a guy who's worth, $750 million now, or $500 million.
I'm sorry,
telling
best line the cop could have said, you know, I was going to let you go until you said that.
Fortunately for the tax goddess, the guy driving the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile in her neighborhood didn't get pulled over by the cops. They're doing the big Sing the Jingle competition, and it's going to neighborhoods all over the country. And tax goddess is big on wiener whistles.
A couple boys, probably about 14 years old, pulled up on their bikes, and they came with the lady. She goes, do you have to sing to get a wiener whistle? She goes, no. And they said, and she hands it to them. I go, oh, thank you. And it was really cute. See, 14-year-old boys going, we got the wiener whistles.
Life's minor triumph.
So I'm happy because I have my wiener whistle now.
Now, you know what I feel?
That represents a huge step forward in the life of the tax goddess, judging by the level of enthusiasm on display in our studio here today.
Oscar Mayer wiener whistles rock.
I'm with you. I wish you had gotten two.
Wow. We'll have to issue some of the band guys some of those
things.
That
could be the new instrument for the Radio Free X-Man closing jingle.
I think we're more kazoo people, really.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, let's give it a try. Well, this program, in spite of the best advice of broadcast professionals and those who have our best interests at heart, will be back next week at the same
X time.
Same X channel.
X Men.
Oh, I wish I was on Radio Free
X Men.
That is where I truly want to be.
IXMAN.
The story you have just seen is true. The names were changed to protect the innocent.